It's the last week of April. Can you believe it? The end of the first quarter of the year. Let that sink in for a second. Good morning, everyone. So the Queens got the opportunity to this weekend to go on a home and garden spring tour. And let me tell you something. We saw beautiful homes, serene gardens. It was just magical. And these are homes where people actually live in them. It was just grand. These homes literally left us speechless, but what it also did was it made us realize that there are possibilities out there. You don't have to settle for where you are, and you can certainly pray to elevate your vibration to the frequency of those grandness that we experienced. We also saw not just beautiful homes. We got the opportunity to actually meet someone who lived in one of them. And let me tell you something. When a man loves a woman, there is no question. He wants the world to know it. We saw love. Just love displayed, pure love. And for people to welcome complete strangers in their homes, not even asking what we do, not trying to categorize us so that they could accept us. They were so warm, so welcoming, not judgmental, but accepting. And these are not black people I'm talking about. It was a beautiful feeling. So we're heading into the next quarter with our vibration wide open, elevated at the possibilities of greatness flowing into our lives. More love, more opportunities, more greatness.
May this week arrive to bring us perfect faith, love off, and an attachment to good friends, and an attachment to our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring into our lives kindness, good fortune, and blessing. Bring into our lives success, good health, wealth, and honor. Bring blessings upon our husbands, children, lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, hello, hello world. We're honored you came back for season 2 of the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matherson with my lady, Claudia Lewis. Everybody calls me Trina. And Veronica Gray, our Queen V. We like, come again, Queens.
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean Queens in the ATL. For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
So in the upcoming conversation, you'll hear different voices because we had some of our listeners call into Clubhouse and we had a wonderful dialogue with them. And Veronica is going to just tell you a little bit more about what we spoke to them about.
We started off the conversation how we were taught as a child, what lessons we learned either from viewing it from parents or people we grew up with, what we saw, what we heard, what came of it as kids, some of the lessons that, you know, create systems in our current life as adults because we saw it as kids, and how it has shaped our financial life currently.
This is Danica from Jamaica.
I grew up learning about how to budget myself as a kid. I watched my cousins do it, and I learned little and little from my aunties and my uncles how they manage themselves. But I think we should have in the institutions of high schools or somewhere in the school system how to manage or how to teach people to manage the money, because growing up, you're always like, mom and dad make things so easy. They get the bills paid, they do this and that. And then now you are being an adult, you're like, how do they survive? The little pay they give you, don't even, can't even stretch to do nothing else. How do they make it? And you, as a kid, you admire your family doing going out, and you see them say, oh, I'm going away for the weekend, and then gone a hotel or then gone Airbnb and all these things or a guest house. And you're like, how them do it? I don't understand. So that was the reality check for me after my parents left home. Trying to cope, trying to understand how to manage your money. And then I always, even now I still ask how they cope. I know I have a habit of saving, and what I keep telling myself, which I can relate to Veronica, I keep telling myself I don't have money, and then reality check will come and say, hey, you know, you do have money in this account. So it's like you forget about certain accounts, and I don't know if it's because I watch my family do it so often, like they always putting up a little stash of money here or there or using, I don't know. But growing up, it was not shown to me, or it wasn't clear to me how they do it. But seeing them doing it, I find myself following the same pattern as them, trying to do, I don't do partner job, I don't do partners, but I find myself being a banker for my friends, them, because they trust me with money. I go to work and my boss trusts me with a certain amount of cash. I find that people are coming to me, and then my girlfriend was like, you know, you save a lot of money. And I said, no, I don't. And she said, you know, you tell yourself you don't, but you really have a knack of saving money and you're not realizing that. I was like, oh, because pretty much planning my wedding, it's pretty much savings that got me to pay for my wedding and all these things. So I think I got a lot of it.
But yeah, that's good, because what happened is you find that kids learn more from what they see than what they're told. So even though they didn't explain it to you, the fact that you saw it in motion, you saw the actions being done, it sort of resonate more with you, and you grow up by automatic. You find yourself just doing it unconsciously. Mm-hmm. It's unconscious. It becomes like a trait that you didn't even think you were paying attention to, but it's something that you grew up with. So all of a sudden, automatically, you do it. Which is why I love to tell people that they have to show the kids, because they're watching you, whether you want to think so or not. They're watching to see what you're doing. So if you have good money habits, they're going to automatically follow into that step. And that was a perfect example of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to financial instability, you mentioned something about wanting schools to have financial literacy. Just yesterday, they signed for Georgia, where every student will have a financial literacy class, and they have to go through a financial literacy class before they graduate. So they just passed that bill here in Georgia. And I know that there are several states. 2 years ago, it was in New Jersey. Tiffany, the budgetista, actually was ahead, was one of the persons who headed that program and worked with her school board and everything to make sure that that happened in New Jersey. So there are several states, and I know California is one of them as well. There are several states that do implement, and Delaware, that have that stipulation where kids get financial literacy prior to graduating, so that we have a better community of people. We have a better understanding of finance, because finance is what we're going to be doing for the rest of our life. It doesn't matter what you do. You're still going to have to deal with money, whether it is in the form it is now or it's in the future form of cryptocurrency. It's still money management. And you still have to have some form of financial literacy in order to make it into this world, regardless of what we're heading in and how we're going to be using currency.
That's true, because when I left from prep school to high school, I can recall NCB, a representative from NCB who came to the institution and encourage us all to open our account. And we started off with $150 because they know we are students. All we needed was to get a letter signed by our parents that we would be able to open the account. And they will come once a month to the institution, collect us our money, and give update our bank book and give it back to the teachers of our class just to start it. But I realized that a lot of banks are not doing it like how they used to do it when I just went to high school. That was introduced about 15, 20 years ago into the school system, but I don't see the practicing that anymore. And I was like, but that's how I learned how to start save, because it's that first form where this representative from a bank came and said, hey, open our account with $150. $150 is not a lot of money, but...
Yeah, but this, for me, I can remember they had that program since I was going to school. The first time I had a bank account in school for Jamaica National came to my primary school. I remember I used to go to Russell Primary. And they would come the same. It's the same structure, Danica. So it has been in our school system in Jamaica for many years, because they did this before I went to primary school and I was introduced to it. My husband had the same thing at his primary school. So they've done that throughout the island for quite some time. And to hear that you were still able to be exposed to that in high school, I'm happy that it's still continuing in the country. I remember the bank rep would come every week or every 2 weeks, and they would, because we had ledgers then, so it looked like what we would now have as a check-in ledger, but it was a bank ledger, and they would put down every time you deposit money or if you take out money, they would record it, and you could keep that book, that bank, they used to call it as a bank book. I remember my blue bank book, getting that as a child, and I think I was in like third grade, and I still had it even to when we left, and they were just teaching us that that money is yours and you can take it with you, and I still had that account even as an adult. So it starts when the kids are young. And I, had you not mentioned that, I would not have remembered that it started for me that young.
It was good. What I observe now, adults can open for your, let's say, your goddaughter or your godson or a niece or a nephew. And all you need is a letter from the parents that you're opening the account for this particular child. And the child won't have access to the account until they're 18, but they are aware that they can save through the banking system. And I think Jamaica is just opening the doors to different persons who want to open accounts for various age group, because I recall when I was 15, mom wanted to open a bank account at Nova Scotia, and they told her that we were too young to just come in and open an account like that. So she was our joint account with us until we reached 21 before she can remove her name off the account. So that's how I pretty much learned how to balance myself, because going to school, my mom would give us lunch money for the week. And she would say, okay, once this money is finished, do not come to me or do not come to your father for anything else. And by Wednesday, my lunch money was finished, but I couldn't go to my mother or my father to say, all right. And so back then, having $500, a hard $500 as a kid, you tend to lose it, or you break it up so fast that you forget that it's for the week, because this is a lot of money to take to school. So I learned it early. I learned it in grade 6 to manage my money. And by the time I was in 7th grade, I pretty get a knock of it. And most of my friends were like, you get lunch money for the week? I said, no, I graduated. My mom said, no, I'm in high school. She's giving me lunch money for 2 weeks. And by I was in 9th grade, I had lunch money for a whole month. And I had to break it up in small and use it. And wherever the money ends, it ends. And that's pretty much that's hard.
That's a very good way to, because the thing is, it's better for the child to start making those mistakes while they're still under the parents' roof. Had you not learned that, and then going out in the world, you can't afford to be making those mistakes now, because it's more detrimental. Because it's not a matter of you not having lunch. It's a matter of you not having a light bill. It's a matter of you not having a gas bill. It's a matter of you not paying rent. So learning those mistakes early on, which is why I always emphasize that they start from home. You have somebody can catch you, and you can. It's easier for you to learn then, because the consequences are not that dire. Yes, the kids should face consequences. Like the parents shouldn't just go and try to save them, because that's not teaching and they won't learn that way. But it's not that detrimental. They won't be kicked out of the house if they fail at this lesson at that time. With the exception if they get older, they can lose their apartment. They can be evicted because they didn't have the skills or they don't know what to do. In Black Panther, one of the lines that I admire so much, he went to his father and he's asking, you know, when his father died, he's asking his father, why are you leaving? I'm not ready. And his father said, no, it was my job. It was my duty to prepare you. Ever since you were born, I was preparing you for this moment. And what I gather from that is our job as parents is we are supposed to prepare our kids to leave. We're supposed to prepare them for the life. The when we know that we have done a good job is when they are no longer need us. They're not dependent on us for anything. More than if they want companion, they will come to us just to visit us for us, not to, you know, leech off or us for financial support. But when you raise kind, loving, giving kids who can stand on their own and can make good decisions, that is when you know that you have done your job, when they no longer need you. That is our role. That's all we are here to do. They're loners. Every parent who has a child, that child is a loner. It is, that person is not. Yes, you will always be a lifetime parent. You will always be a lifetime mother. You will always be a lifetime father. However, you have to allow the kids to go out, leave. And part of preparing them is financial literacy, because it's something they will always need.
Thank you for listening to the Beloved Queens podcast. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
This royal shout out goes to Queen Kay Barnwell, the founder of Billy Boo, a girls' empowerment brand for the princesses in your life. Their focus is on products designed to empower girls to increase their self-awareness, self-identity, and self-care. Mothers of girls know the great struggle when it comes to finding unique products with an uplifting message. Well, search no more. Billy Boo's founder had the same problem with her daughter, so she created a solution. If you're looking for unique gifts, toys, clothing that promotes positive self-image, shop BillyBoo.com online, and that's Billy with an I. If you happen to be in the Atlanta area, head over to 4651 Woodstock Road, Roswell, Georgia. It's inside Painted Tree Roswell Space E18. Opens daily from 10 a.m. through 8 p.m. You and your princesses won't regret it. Billy Boo guarantees a magical experience. At Billy Boo, be free to be you. Go ahead, follow them on Instagram at official Billy Boo. www.billiboo.
Beloved, come join us in the room on Clubhouse for Talk Up the Takes, where we're going to discuss freely. We'll be live. Come bring your testimonies. We have been sharing with you, so come share with us. Share with at least 10 people so we all can talk up the things then.
We're inviting women-run businesses to partner with us. Yes, our sponsorship packages are available at thebelovedqueens.com. All you have to do is simply click the red heart at the top right-hand corner to take advantage of the ads and other amazing offers. If you're a listener, though, who enjoys our content and would love to support us, you can donate there, too. Now, this is a special one. Not every day your prince turns into a king. Happy birthday, Christopher. Queen Trina's son turns 18, and we are sending him a big ol' happy birthday from the beloved queens. And of course, somebody special wants to give you a greeting.
Christopher Michael Lewis, this is your daddy. One and only daddy. Just want to say I love you. Happy birthday. Wish you the best. Wish you all the dreams come true, son. More blessings, you know. Big up.
Well, happy birthday, Christopher. Poppy. My wash belly. My favorite son. I am so excited for you to be turning 18. It is a new chapter in your life. Oh my God. I'm excited for new beginnings for you. Graduation is next month, and then you're off to starting a new chapter, meaning that you will be exploring and discovering and making your money. You have so much goals. You've always been a businessman, and you are on the move to making it happen. I am so proud of the young king that you are becoming. Poppy, we love you to the moon and back. Go on, young king, do your thing.
And we're back.
I was just thinking about where I've come from and where I'm at right now, and the struggle has been real. Just having this conversation for me is still uncomfortable, but I'm working through it, because that's what I'm working on, is being comfortable with talking about money. And to have it, you know, the first time I really spoke about it, I just wanted to put that out there, is that when we were actually doing the podcast, to have that conversation and be honest and open about
the fear of discussing money and how, for me, that is so private. I mean, even more intimate than intimacy itself, which is something that kind of shook me. I was like, okay, that's interesting. But just coming from that place and where I am now, trying to kind of hold myself accountable, learn from my experience from the past, and, you know, making sure that my children are very comfortable. Oh, yes, they're very comfortable talking about finances, and making sure they have the information that they need. Thank you, Veronica. That was a whole lot of lessons from you.
Anyone else have an example of how lessons they've learned from the past as a child and how it has shaped them today?
In my particular circumstance, you know, my parents never really got into the whole financial of running the house and taking care of the family. It's more like, you know, they did that stuff. They never really let you handle money unless you had to go to the store to buy something and you were given the exact amount, or you say, you know, bring back the change. There wasn't any like levity of like, here you go, here's a checking account, here's this, here's that. So we never really had that conversation. The one thing that I remember clearly is save your money, work and save your money, which is true. That's a very good thing. But then you don't know what to do after that.
That is so true. That is so true. And Christopher, I can attest to that. Same thing. I became a saver, and then next.
Right. So the funny thing that I ran into as I'm saving is like, I'm like, all right, I have $10, great. And 5 years later, you have $10, right? But then the $10 isn't worth the real value of what it was years ago.
Present value of money and the future value of money. Don't let me get back into my finance classes, guys.
You know what, though? We need to hear it. And we need to hear it every day, because just like religion, just like everything else, just like work, just like healthy living, this is part of healthy living. This is mental state of mind, where you are, how comfortable you are, what are you, you know, pushing your family towards, and what vehicle are you using to get there? Because there's many, and people don't seem to have any, you know. Saving is not a solution. Saving is the beginning, you know.
And remember the tiny, 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 tiny interest rate that comes with saving. That thing bugged me so much.
Oh, there's an interest rate.
Don't let me talk about that. My son at 7 years old, I kid you not, when my son got his first statement and realized that it was 20 cents, he was not having it. He was done. He was like, there is no, so what's the point? For 30 days, I get 20 cents? Nope. He not doing it. And I swear, I had to keep encouraging him to save. And then I said, when it gets to a certain amount, I can transfer it into a different account or put it into investment. He was so discouraged.
Yeah.
20 cents. That 0.001% ain't no joke.
It's just like when you work. It's just like when you work hard all year thinking you're going to get a big raise and your boss give you 13 cents and say, well, you got 13 cents more. You should be good. Keep it moving.
Christopher, don't come up in here. Come start up that conversation. Now, please.
What are the same thing?
Please.
The bank will take care of you and you're good now because you saved. And the bank just say, well, you know, I see you here. I'll raise you a couple like micro percentages, which doesn't even account for inflation in a given month.
No, it doesn't.
Compared to the year. You know, everything got its catch. You do the 401k, it's got its catch. You do the Roth IRA, it's got its catch. Everything's got these little gotchas. And the key thing is to understand the IRS stipulations around everything and how it all works and how it affects you financially, what your caps, your limits are. And, you know, that's always a good place to start. See what the law is about what you're thinking about, and then go from there.
And that's where diversification comes in. You have to diversify your funding. So you talked about your Roth, you talk about your 401k, you talk about all these other different things. And that's where you do not put all your eggs into one basket. Because right. your 401k can, you know, that's a long time thing. You're not going, once you put your money there, you're not thinking of touching that money. But wait, you're thinking about 30 years down the line.
What money? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's how you think about it. You're not touching that. It's a long term. It's for, you know, after retirement, whatever. But you also have money in different buckets where, okay, there's something coming up and I want to invest in that. You have that money available because you can't just go and just pull out money because, you're again, there is a fine. If you withdraw too early, there is a fine and you're going to be taxed. Depends on what kind of account you put it in. Either you pay the tax up front or you pay the tax once you withdraw it. Yep. And then that's also a catch. Is the tax rate going to be less by the time I'm ready to draw it? Or is my tax rate less now so I can play the tax now so I don't have to be hit with a higher tax?
That's a very good thing to point out. Like, people think, oh my God, the 401k is the holy grail. Wait a minute. Because if you've got to think about the tax implications, if you are making X amount now and when you're ready to pull, let's say you have all these other accounts, and let's just say you did everything right. Well, you get penalized for doing everything right because now instead of making $50,000 a year, now you're making $400,000 a year because you did all the right things. Well, guess what? The government goes, oh, great. We can tax you at 40%. This is wonderful versus taxing you at like 19%. So all of these things are so important, and you have to sit down with a financial advisor once you get the basics down so you don't have anyone running rings around you, you know, to really understand it. So,
and not only the financial advisor, you also need a tax person because the taxes change so often.
Often, yeah.
That you are not, once you might have heard or might have known that, okay, this is the good thing based on this tax bracket, this is what's going on. It changes. So yes. You need someone who is up to date with the tax codes and all the tax breaks that you can get and where you can move the money so you're not being taxed heavily. You need a professional tax person for that.
Speaking of that, I think a new law just passed for the 401k and Roth IRA. It's passed through the House of Representatives, so it's moving forward through the Senate. And that's going to make some changes to the 401k and to the Roth IRA.
So I'm actually going to read from Forbes.com what the Secure Act 2.0 does. It basically is trying to accomplish three goals: get people to save more, improve the retirement rules, and lower costs for employers to set up retirement plans. The most popular provision is allowing employers to offer matching retirement contributions to employees who are paying off student loans. So that's the most important one. Go ahead and look it up. It's you can check it out on Forbes.com or different places. It's called the Secure Act 2.0 for more details.
And these are the things that they expect us to keep abreast with. And they happen so often and, so far in between sometimes that you can't really keep abreast with all that's going on. And that's why you need to check in quarterly. I am a great advocate of checking in on your finances each quarter because things might happen. You might need to shift some things in your accounts, shift some things in your investments to make sure that you come off better at the end of the year. And then you also always have to revisit at the end of the year, restructure because your goals might change. Your
True.
Goals, yeah. like the goals you have for 2022 is not the same goals you're going to have for 2023.
Well, you learn new things every year, too. So you might realize, Correct. Wait a second, I could be doing this better. And that's what happens. Every time we go, oh, this is good. We're like, wait a second, this is better.
And that's why it's so good to talk to people, because that's how you learn.
Right. Yeah.
That's how you get more information, because somebody is coming with something that you don't know, and somebody might have gone through something that. And I love to, I don't need to go through the lessons. Listen, tell me what happened and tell me what people not to fall into.
You want to skip the heartache?
Yes, yes, please, and thanks.
Unfortunately, it's not something that's taught in schools. And for parents, they can't teach what they don't know. So, you know, how are they going to teach something that they don't know? So she's the money lady. I'm the money lady. You know, we love to share and give financial tips. And so I'm going to give one financial tip today while we're here talking about that. And so did you know that you can add a beneficiary to your bank account? The same way you can add a beneficiary to your 401k, to your life insurance, it is very imperative that you add a beneficiary to your bank account. In the event that anything should happen to you, the money will go directly to the person that you want it to. And it, you know, does not have to go through probate or anything. It would go directly to that person. So no, you don't have to add them to the account where they have access to your account. They will not have access to your account, but they will be the beneficiary, and your money will go directly to who you want it to, and the bank won't hold on to your funds, and it will be released to the person that you put as your beneficiary. So that's, you know, I give these tips and others. I am very, very big on helping people understanding credit. Credit is my specialty. I love helping people understand their credit and getting their credit up to what I call, you know, how I know back in our day, we used to say, keep it 100. I say, keep it 700 or above. So that's in the credit score world. And I have a company called Dollars at 10. And at Dollars at 10, that's what we do. Teach financial education. You can go to dollarsat10.org to check out my website. And I'm also an author of financial education books. I have two books, one called Teach Me How to Money Now, and the other, Cooper Learns to Save. And I'm definitely working on writing more.
So as we close out Financial Literacy Month, we hope it was a blessing to you. And of course, we can't close Financial Literacy Month without offering up a prayer for your finances so that it will go in the direction that you know is best for you and your family. So Father, we pray for all the listeners who have been on this journey with us. Some may have listened to every single episode this month of April, and some got a few. But we pray, Lord, for their finances. We pray, O God, for those who are struggling with income. We pray for those who are struggling with savings. We pray for those who are just struggling to make ends meet. We pray for those who are fearful and lack the understanding that it takes to walk into their prosperity. Now I pray, O God, that you would open their eyes that they may see how to handle money. Help them to be, and us to be, good stewards of everything that you are bringing into our lives. Help each person listening to understand that it is your will for us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. It is your will for us to create the wealth and riches that we have in our hands. It is your will for us to grow from glory to glory, strength to strength, wealth to wealth. So, Father, begin now by shifting our mindsets so that we will not have a forever spending mentality or a poverty mentality. Free us, O God, from those shackles. Free us from generational shackles of poverty that keeps us in habits and cycles that causes us to be stuck and not grow. Father, for those who are experiencing prosperity in this moment, continue to bless them. Continue to cause them to go from more glory to more glory. Cause them, Lord God, to have fresh ideas, witty inventions, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would cause such a prosperity to be on us so that we may see that you are a God who is good, that you do not want for us to struggle. You don't want us to be poor. Poor people can't help anyone. So, Father, bring prosperity into our lives. Bring abundance into our lives. Unleash, Lord God, the law of accumulation upon us. Lord God, we call forth from the north, the south, the east, and the west your mighty provisions. Jehovah Jireh, be our provider today and for the rest of 2022. Your grace will be sufficient for us. We speak to every person who is struggling financially. We say grace, grace to every mountain in their lives. And we ask you, O God, to just bring into their lives a fresh wind of provision, Lord God, that they may see. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. Show forth your mighty power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms @TheBelovedQueens.